This is Judith Lay saying Moramai, good morning and welcome, as the island's churches are once more at your service. Manx Radio. This morning we're at your service out in the glorious Manx countryside as we look forward to celebrating the Feast of St Macald. We'll be reflecting on the life of this great Celtic saint and our island's Christian heritage as we spend a little time in the Keels, ancient places of prayer in Macald Burial Ground, in the nearby Cross House and in Kirkmacald, the parish church itself. But let's start with a huge hymn of praise from the Huddersfield Choral Society. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Pioneer minister Reverend Alex Brown finds Macald Head an inspiring place too. As we'll hear in a moment, its beauty and deep spirituality lead him to reflect on a verse from one of the Psalms, the 8th Psalm. Before Reverend Alex joins us, let's listen as David Suchet reads Psalm 8 as it's recorded in the Bible.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Welcomes Macald Head, home of the ancient crosses of man. The psalm says, "You place a crown on our heads of honour and make us to reflect you. If we take it as true that God can be seen in humanity, his character and nature as a signpost in our lives, then we have to reach a quite painful conclusion. The reason that it matters to God that we act as he would act is that we are designed to be walking signposts. So when our actions or attitudes are anti-God or anti-people, it is as if we take that signpost down, or worse still, we point away from God. It truly isn't as simplistic as that, but tragically, it so often has that effect. The good news, is that we have been designed with just the opposite in mind, and that it actually feels good when we end up pointing towards God with our lives and our words. That is what we are designed to do. An early church pioneer called Paul wrote to a young church leader and said this: "Don't let people look down on you just because you're young. No, you be the example. Set the way with your love, life, speech, faith and purity, and teach the scriptures too." Oh, may this world be filled with living signposts, being walking examples of a spiritually vibrant life, and encouraging others to do the same around us. May we raise the bar and live such magnetic lives that our almost angelic center reveals divinity in every way to everyone at every moment. Let's just pause. Maybe whilst listening to this short piece, some things have come to mind where you realize that your life, your attitudes, your words, your actions or inactions have been pointing away from God. Maybe it's time to ask for forgiveness. Maybe God is prompting a change in some way.
I bind unto myself today the strong name of the tree.
I bind unto myself this day the strong name of the Trinity. That hymn, sung by Heather Innes and Jacinth Hamill, is known as St. Patrick's Breastplate and speaks of the encircling protective presence of God which is so often found in Celtic prayers. St Patrick, patron saint of Ireland, is central to the story of St Macald, who started out in life as a young Irishman known as Macool, with a fearsome reputation as a vicious bandit. But it was when he tried to deceive St Patrick that he realised he had met a greater power than any he'd seen before, and repented of all his past wickedness. Macool became known as Macald. In due course, he became a bishop himself and powerful force for good, and the Feast of St Macald will be celebrated on the 31st of July. Reverend Ian Folds has a deep interest in the Celtic saints who have links with the island, but Ian is currently in ministry on another island. He's in Christchurch Cathedral in Stanley, the Anglican parish church of the Falkland Islands, and it's from there that he joins us this morning by the power of modern technology to share some thoughts on St Macald.
Everyone knows the story of St Macald, don't they? How he was expelled from Ireland by St Patrick and arrived here manacled in a coracle. How the key to his handcuffs were found inside a fish. How he was befriended by resident bishops Canendrius and Romulus, eventually succeeding them. And how he founded a Celtic monastery and stayed on for 60 years to sort out the island. Well, that's pretty much how the story goes. Although, when you get down to it, it's quite difficult to prove any of it. Although the Chronicles of Man talk of his ghost protecting the island against invading Vikings, and he's mentioned in some of the early Irish chronicles, there are scholars who simply don't believe that such a person ever existed. However, there are also signs that there was some sort of pilgrimage to a shrine here, maybe connected with St Macald's Well, and this continued at least until the 16th century. When the church effectively outlawed shadowy Celtic characters like him, he just about disappeared, becoming confused with people like Marlowe, Macutus, and even Magnus. But he didn't quite vanish. He featured in the 16th century traditionary ballad. The Macald Stafflands suggest that a great saint worked in the area. The Manx language preserved the names of his two feast days, and a fair bearing his name continued into the 19th century. Macald re-emerged as a Manx hero with the growing idea that the land of our birth was something special. And because his arrival here, the Well on St Macald's Head and Kirkmacald itself made a really good story for the early tourist guidebooks. By 1869, Roman Catholics were busy reinstating him as the apostle and patron of the Isle of Man. And a little later, there are accounts of pilgrimage to his well on the head restarting, with some pilgrims even walking all the way from Douglas. In the 20th century, there was a move to declare him as the patron saint of the island. And to this day, the Isle of Man is still described as the pastoral area of St Macald in the Archdiocese of Liverpool. His well is of particular interest, as not only is there clear evidence of a man-made area surrounding it, but also lots of supporting folklore about visits and cures. A votive offering left behind in 1916 is now preserved in the Science Museum in London. And even now, coins are still left in the small hollowed-out wellhead. Whatever you might think about all this, it's clear that St Macald, more than 1,500 years later, is still a key figure in Manx history, far beyond the small village and original Celtic monastery of Kirkmacald. He's represented in stained glass windows in churches as far apart as St Patrick's Jerby, St Olive's Ramsey, Kirkpatrick, the Royal Chapel of St John, and possibly Old Lonnon. There's an altar panel showing him at St Paul's Ramsey, another painted panel at St Mary's in Douglas. Our Lady Star of the Sea and St Macald in Ramsey carries his name. Mona Douglas suggested that the bog oak shepherd's crook discovered in the Currachs in 1908, and now part of the bishop's splendid silver and enamel crozier, might even be Macald's long-lost pastoral staff hidden at the Reformation. What's more, there's an argument for suggesting that the ancient arms of the Diocese of Soda and Man, which show a saint at sea in a coracle, long thought to be the more important Columba associated with Iona, could actually be our own St. Macald, the protector of man. Experts are still writing about him, discovering possible links with North Wales, Brittany and Scotland. In 2018, the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra premiered Charles Gard's Legend of St. Macald. And he's now included in most books and encyclopedias written about the Celtic revival and the early British saints. But for us, it's his grasp of what really matters that makes him stand out. So as we approach the date of Macald's chief feast on the 31st of July, Lael Margul Toshi in Manx, let's use the prayer that has been said for so many years in the church that he founded. Christ Jesus, with the life and witness of St. Macald, Bishop and Confessor, you inspired generations of pilgrims in the way of love, hope, holiness and service. Enfold your church in the mystery of your wounded and risen glory, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit are present eternally. Amen.
I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need. The wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my God.
Claire Folds is a church warden at Kirkmacold with a deep love of this historically and spiritually important place. She's also planning several days of special events, walks, talks and services around the Feast of St. Macald on the 31st of July. We join Claire now, first in the burial ground that surrounds Kirkmacald, and we're sitting in the remains of a keel. Keels are Christian chapels dating back as far as the 8th century, and remains can be found all over the island. Very simply built from earth and stone, some keels would have been used as family chapels or wayside shrines. But there are remains of a number of keels in the burial ground at Macald because this was the site of a monastic community. It's also a place where Claire feels very much at home.
Well, it's lovely to be with you here in a very favourite place of mine. It's somewhere that I've loved since early childhood when we used to come up in particular for picnics and playing at Port Cornet. And I gradually came to understand Macald Churchyard with its perimeter wall as a very special holy place. One of the places where you can feel more spiritually alive than in the ordinary humdrum of life. And yet, you're still in the community and you're surrounded by gravestones, some of them at funny angles, but they all represent the lives of people whom God has loved. So there's an enormous amount that represents expressions of the love of God and the expressions of the lives that have passed that God has loved. It's also very beautiful. I can't think of many places where you get the immense views of the hills, the beautiful valley below, the sea. There are times when it's windblown, there are times when it's in glorious sunshine. And we have wonderful wildflowers here. There are always birds to be heard. There are often sheep to be heard. And it's a place where you can reflect and find a spiritual moment where you can draw on your faith and find your faith replenished. At the moment, we're sitting in this keel. There's not very much of it left in terms of it's just really the footprint, and the walls are about 600 millimetres tall, but nevertheless, you can see the outline. There's another one a few hundred yards away, slightly different in size. And then again, there's a third one at the east end of the existing church. And it is believed that underneath the existing church is a fourth one. And according to PMC Kermode, there was a fifth one on the boundary, but I've not actually been able to establish quite where it was. So we've got the evidence of the places where the monks worshipped. And one of the keels has the little white pebbles which indicated where the altar would be. And if you want to see a bit more of how it would have been, there is the reproduction of St Macle's keel in the St Macle's garden at the St German's Cathedral. So you can get an even better idea than here. But this, of course, is the real thing in its amazing open space. The interesting thing about the keels is that they still draw people in. And it's been a tradition at Macald for there to be services here on a fairly regular basis, particularly, of course, during the summer, and St Macald's Day in particular. Well, St Macald's Day falls on the 31st of July, so we will be holding the usual traditional service in the keel, and that will be an evening prayer. And this has been a year in which the need to come to the keels has been felt by other people, so that we are very aware that not only were the monks praying here 1500 years ago, but there's been a continuity of this link with God, the thin place, as the Celtic tradition puts it. And even today, the call of God is felt very strongly in the keels. We weren't allowed in the church, but the churchyards after a while were open. And we came and said our prayers together, carefully socially distanced, because we could express our Christian faith, our living faith, with the connection with this long tradition, and using what is left of this holy building to focus and to talk to God and to listen to God together and yet separate. And so we overcame the feeling of loneliness and disconnection and could enjoy the communal worship in a very unusual way. Now we've walked down from the keel to the cross house, and this is very interesting for anybody who's interested in history, and particularly early history with the carvings. But I look upon it as an intensely spiritual place again, because of all the representations that are predominantly Christian. And I think back to the work and dedication that's gone into carving these, well, not with modern tools, but somebody had to chip at rocks for hours and hours to achieve these very complex patterns. There was one evening when we decided to say compline or evening prayer together, and it was raining. So we came into the cross house and we lit some candles, and it was again the intensity of the spiritual moment. And I think very much enhanced by the fact that we were surrounded by ancient crosses, but yet practicing our living faith. Well, we're pausing now in front of the Macald Parish Cross. This is a sandstone cross from the 14th century, and not only does it carry an early representation of the crucifixion and various other symbols, but it has one of the earliest representations of the three legs of man. It seems to me that it's an appropriate moment to think about the whole of our faith, what a creed embodies of our faith, and I turn to the Armagh Creed, which is in the Book of Armagh from 670. Our God is the God of all humans, the God of heaven and earth, the God of sea and rivers, the God of sun and moon, the God of all the heavenly bodies, the God of the lofty mountains, the God of the lowly valleys. God is above the heavens, and he is beneath the heavens. Heaven and earth and sea and everything that is in them, such he has as his abode. God inspires all things, gives life to all things, stands above all things, and stands beneath all things. He enlightens the light of the sun, he strengthens the light of the night and the stars. He makes wells in the arid land and dry islands in the sea, and he places the stars in the service of the greater lights. God has a son who is co-eternal with himself and similar in all respects to himself, and neither is the son younger than the father, nor is the father older than the son, and the Holy Spirit breathes in them, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are inseparable. Amen. When it comes to celebrating the Feast of St. Macald on the 31st of July, we'll be decorating the well. This is an ancient tradition and it will be decorated with flowers. There is a link with the well that is maintained to this day. It was, of course, a place where baptisms took place, we believe, 1,500 years ago. And water is still brought up from the well and by tradition is used for baptism in the church in the very ancient font that we have here. So again, there's this continuity. And we're hoping that by having a weekend of celebration of St. Macald, and that is St. Macald in its broadest form, the whole of the Macald parish, but focusing on the churchyard and the history of the monks, and then coming through to celebrating our faith today, running from the decorated well on the 31st of the month, through to having a service in the Keel in the evening, a starlight walk led by Phil Crane, and then various activities during the day on Saturday, where there will be information about both the church and its history. And then on the Sunday morning, we'll be having a joint service with St. Paul's Ramsey and the Doon in the church here, because we are all part of the same modern parish.
Where we have to leave Kirkmacold and churchwarden Claire Folds. All the details of the special weekend to celebrate the Feast of St. Macald on and around the 31st of July are on Kirkmacold's Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com and search for Kirkmacold. I've also put a link to the page in the notes accompanying the podcast of this programme. Thank you to everyone who took part in today's programme, and special thanks to you for listening. Do please keep letting me know the hymns that you'd like to hear whilst we're at your service. You can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Lay is spelt L-E-Y. I'd love to hear from you. All being well, I'll be back here next Sunday morning at 9:30, as the churches of the island will once again be at your service. But for now, this is Judith wishing you and those you love and care for a safe and blessed week, and a very good morning. Manx Radio.